Do you have an expectation this morning?
Yes.
Amen. All right, I began sharing a message last week. I want to pick up on it again today. And it's kind of interesting. Well, you can turn to Luke 8:22. And I'd shared with you about there's storm clouds on the horizon. And it kind of dawned on me just this week as meditating on these things that led me to share on that with how to navigate through tests and trials and what all the Word says about it so that we can see clearly and there's no confusion. But as the thing that he was really dumped on my heart last week before Sunday and said it's time to share this, there's things I've been... I'll make mention of at times for 40 years, but we're there. I mean, it's that time. So I felt a release by the Spirit to share these things. Now, Paul mentioned in Hebrews he had a lot more to share, but wasn't the time yet because of where they were at with the Word at that point in time. So sometimes it's not the right time to say something, even like if you're witnessing to an unbeliever, and maybe you want to share certain things with them, but until it's the right time, you don't do it. If you try to plant corn right now, it's not going to work. You have to wait till, like if you're a gardening person, there's certain times. Anything with farming, there's times to plant, there's times to harvest. And it's like that with people, individuals. It's like that within church. It's within also the body of Christ worldwide. It was kind of interesting, sometimes traveling to different countries, I might share something and the local pastors, well, that's what the Spirit of God had us share last week. You're just confirming all of it. That always kind of tickles me because it's the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Jesus is Lord of his church, and he's dealing with all the people, all those people all over the world at the same time. Now, that's beyond what my brain can comprehend, but I've seen it time and time again. So, anyway, Luke 8:22 says, now it came to pass on a certain day, he went into a ship with his disciples, and this was in a big passenger liner with six decks, little boats, okay, little wooden boats. He went into a ship and said, let us go over. Did you ever go down and see where's it down there at Virginia Beach? They had the Mayflower, or no, that was up in England. But anyway, those old ships were not that big. And they had, people would be down below and getting seasick and everything else. In fact, the sailors that brought this is a little historical side note here, that brought the pilgrims over, called them puke stockings because they were down below throwing up the whole time coming across the Atlantic. And that would be me. I get motion sick kind of easy, especially on the ocean. We went on a vacation to Maine once, and Donald, the photographer, so desperately wanted to get pictures of whales. So I reluctantly agreed. And I was fine when we were on that bay. But we got out on the ocean. I went to the back of the boat. I didn't lose my lunch or anything, but I sure felt like it. But she had fun anyway. That's called walking in love. Sometimes you do things that might not be to your own personal benefit, but benefits the other person and their desire. Okay, Jesus went into a ship with his disciples and said to them, let us go to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. Jesus proclaimed the will of God. God the Father had already shown him, because when he got to the other side, it was a man with a couple thousand demons in him, come running up and wants to be set free. And Jesus cast the demons out of him. They go into a herd of pigs and they run down and drown themselves. So that guy had to be really tormented if all those demons could kill 2,000 pigs. So we're going to the other side. And there are things to your life personal and to the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide that he has proclaimed as his will. This is what's going to be done. Now, one of the things I'll just make mention of is Jesus is going to return for his church. Simultaneously, Antichrist spirits beginning to set up that when he takes us out, there's no restraining force, because in 2 Thessalonians, we see there that the church is the restraining force to all hell breaking loose, all manner of evil getting poured out. Now, we can look around us and see more evil, but what's that tell you? People, God, need to be stronger in their influence. The Bible does show it's going to get worse and worse before his return. That's a fact. It's not debatable. It's as plain as day in the scriptures. It will be worse and worse, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, and we can have expectation for a greater release of the grace of God in our life as per what we would need and through us to others, not only to our brothers and sisters, but into the world. And that should be how we're thinking. Not, oh God, get me out of here, this is hell. No, praise God, in the midst of all the darkness, our light will shine brighter. And Jesus Christ is the light, and he lives within you, and that's part of our ministry, or the work of the ministry, that we are all to be a light to the world. Okay. Well, the Bible talks about a great end time harvest that's going to be all over. It'll be here, but especially in this last hour, the tribes and people groups in the world that have not yet heard the gospel, and there's a lot of them out there yet. So I don't think Jesus will come back next week. There are a lot of them to be reached yet. And that's only going to be as somebody goes. You might say, well, maybe they'll catch it on satellite TV. I don't think so. They don't have electricity. Running water. I used to see them go to the mountains. Running water, yeah. Two buckets and a pair of tennis shoes. That's running water. You go up to run up to the spring house. But there's many, many people that are unreached that don't have all the niceties that we would have. And somebody's got to go to them. That's why I very purpose in missions relationships. I mean, praise God for whatever anybody's doing, but especially from this hour, the ones that are going, laying down all the niceties of life they could have had living here. Well, actually, they couldn't, because it'd be out of the will of God. But to go and risk their life having nothing but their faith to trust in Jesus to sustain them through. And even if they die, there's a people that'll come out of that. And there's many, many, many people in church history where that was their story. There was a book called Bruchko. It was a guy who was down in Columbia. And that was his story. Certain tribes came to the Lord. And it's been happening for centuries all over the world. But we're at the end of time, and that's the great work God's going to do. We need to be more focused on that. However, we can't be an ostrich with our head in the sand relative to this, what's going on around us and the times we're living in. So the times we're living in, evil's waxing worse and worse. And the thing that the Spirit of God put in my heart last week is there's storm clouds on the horizons. There's things that have been building up for a while. But we need not fear. Me saying this and sharing this kind of message should not strike fear. If it does, then you need to draw near to God in a greater way than you have been up to this point. Because in him there's no fear, there's peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He produces it in you if we're walking full of him. But if you're living a life, I just want to be blessed in this world, and if you think that's what Christianity is, you're mistaken. It's a life in him. In the midst of the world, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And we're to live our life for him, in him, with him, through him, for his purposes and his will. And that's where the greater joy is. The greatest element of God, or his DNA, is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says it very plainly. The greatest is love. Faith, hope, and love. They are in continuation. There are manifestations of the Spirit as needed, here and there. But what we need to pursue is faith, hope, and love, because that is in a continual it needs to be continually what we would walk in and flow out from us. So to share what I'm sharing, it doesn't scare me. And hopefully it doesn't you, but if it does you, allow that to be like a little bell to go off. I need to draw to Him. I need to abide in His Word more, that faith can rise in my heart, that I can clearly see what's around me, but my eyes are on Him, and I'm going to do His will while I'm here. Sometimes people think they can like negotiate with God. No, it's not negotiable. There's a covenant. You can't say, "Oh God, I'll give you a little bit of this or that, and you give me a little bit of what I want." Doesn't work like that. Jesus gave all of His life unto the death, who did not have any sin in Himself, but took our sin upon Himself, that He could give us life, all of His life. He gave all of His to us, that we can receive all that He is, all who He is. And we continue to grow in our knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to walk in more of what He's already given us. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, He already given us all we would ever need. It's all right there. But it's incumbent upon us to pursue Him, because we see His goodness. That's what you pursue, what you think's good. If you're pursuing carnal things, well, you, be honest with yourself. You believe that's better than knowing God. But in Him, the real treasures are experienced. Jesus said, I command you to walk in love, but your joy might be full. There's no greater joy than living the love life. As we move forward, where there's an increase of some real trials around us, live the love life. Don't withdraw for self. See, you'll be tempted to do that. Well, I gotta draw back for me. No, live the love life. I've marveled so many times, different countries, different places in the world, and I'd see some people, they don't really have much anything, but they have Jesus. And they live, now this isn't everybody, flesh is flesh, the same all over the world. People are people. But to see where there's some who grasp a hold of this, that the greater life is not in pursuing stuff, but rather to pursue Him, and just certain images in my mind, people, you know, with nothing, dancing down the road to church on Sunday morning, literally dancing down the street. I'm just watching this, and man, this is awesome. And they're living in a block hole wall. They have the joy of the Lord. There's no excuse for us not to have the joy of the Lord. It has nothing to do with things. It has everything to do with your heart and knowing Him. And the more He blesses us, we see His goodness. The idea of God there is that you would draw near to Him more. Rather than, okay, I got enough to make me happy here. I'll let God be a part of my life, but not my whole life. Colossians chapter 3 says Jesus is our life. He's our whole life. Donna and I went out for a lunch, dinner, date yesterday. Married 46 years on tomorrow. I said, "Don, it's been a good life." So you're talking like it's over. I said, "No, it's not over. But we're going from glory to glory. Glory to glory." So you can think back and remember trials and hardships. You can dwell on that stuff if you want to. But I want to dwell on the good things. And there's nothing better than the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the source of it all. The source of all the blessing we would have. Well, let's go to the other side. There's a work to do till it's time for us to go to the other side or to go to heaven. We have eternity with him, but we have this brief moment in time where in the position we're in this life, you see the contrast with light and dark, love and self, faith and fear, the contrast that you can clearly come to know him by the Holy Spirit revealing these things of him to us. Well, it says they sailed and Jesus fell asleep. You know, Jesus had a body just like you do. He'd rest, he'd eat.
Yes.
You know, he had needs. You know, he'd do all that. But there was times, it was like he was Energizer Bunny. I mean, he was just plowing through. But this moment, he's asleep. There comes a storm on the lake. The boat began to fill with water. So that's some hard rain. You're filling a boat up. But waves are probably splashing over. And these professional fishermen wake him up because they're getting scared. Now, for someone who's just like, you go in a boat now and then, you don't think about it, but there's dangers out there, and that could scare you. But the old pro, he'll laugh because they've seen bigger waves than that before, and then you hear their fish story. Little pun there. So they're scared to death. They say, "Master, Master, we're going to perish." So he gets up, rebukes the wind and the raging water. They ceased and there was calm. Now, in Matthew and Mark, it says that he said, "Peace, be still." The storm's raging all around. I want to repaint this picture and then I'll go on to some additional scriptures other than what I shared last week. But to paint the picture, they're in the boat. There's a storm all the way around. In their ability, there's nothing they could do. They knew they were doomed. Destruction is all around. But they were with Jesus. Has it come to this? Well, yes, we'll call on Jesus. No, here they are. They're scared to death. But they're with Jesus. And his presence always brought peace to them before. So now with this greater storm, they call on him again. He wakes up. Wakes up. Rebukes the storm. But then he says, "Where is your faith? Why are you afraid? You're with me." See, here's the key thing. With whatever we might encounter going forward, whatever all it might be, and be similar for everyone and different things for everyone, know that you're with him.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. You do not have to fear. He said in, I think it's Matthew, he said, "Why are you so fearful? You of little faith." If we allow fear in, we've allowed faith to grow weak or even be taken from our heart by the enemy who wants to steal the word from you. We need to continue to build ourselves in the hearing of the word, because that's how faith comes forth, the hearing of the word. But how long do I need to do this? How long do I need to hear it? And I shared with you before from Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, or out of the process, out of the process. And then the second Greek word there, it's translated in English by, means unto the completion. We continue to listen to him till his plan's complete. Meditating upon who we know him to be until it's complete. You know, I have full expectation for my healing. Don't be looking at me. I've been healed. I couldn't count on my fingers how many things just in the last year or two. I don't talk about it that much. I'm going to interject this as it's relevant here. My expectation is completion. The completion of Christ as my healer. And something dawned on me this week. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to say it. I feel inspired to say it. You know, when we talk about going through trials and tests, and I've been teaching on that, you ought to hear it. Everybody needs to hear that. Okay, I'm not banging a drum, you need to come to every meeting. I'm saying you need to hear it. And as a people, you need to know what it is to go on through to the other side. You count it all joy no matter what you're going through. You see, in the human mind, people say, here's my limit, here's my red line, here, I can't take anymore. Well, as soon as you say that, you're denying the power of the Holy Ghost who's within you. At that point, there's a denial. Now, we don't pretend the things aren't there to deal with. You have to be in reality. However, God makes a way for us to pass on through to the other side. And whatever it takes for the will of God to be done, you can believe for that. When you live for His will, whatever it takes, it's money, it's health, certain relationships, if it's help. One of the things we need to set ourselves to in this day and this hour, as storms are increasing around us, is to hear the voice of God. And you need to train yourself to do that. No one can do that for you. Many times people want someone to come prophesy to them because they're not seeking them herself. Now God in His graciousness and mercy to us may have someone help us like that. But He wants us all to grow up. Because as we are strengthened, not only are we free, but you can help somebody else. As you're strengthened, where is your faith, guys? I'm going to want to send you out and calm the storms in other people's lives. You guys are just seeing the example here. But after Jesus is crucified, resurrected, and ascends to heaven, and He only, you know, and every time He'd talk about it, just blow their mind, they would be so upset. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And that's what He told them. He's there with us. It's if we know He's with us. And the thing is to learn to walk in His presence, to maintain His presence, keeping your eyes on that which He's the other side, where He wants you to go. Release faith for whatever it takes to get there. Whatever it takes. So as we have that mentality, you can then laugh at the things that would happen. I mean, not we're saddened by it because people suffer, but within yourself. Because it's an opportunity for God to be God. So He says, you know, where's your faith? Kind of, you know, what kind of man is this? And he brings peace within the midst of the storm. This is something I want you to really hear and grasp. No matter what you're going through, if you're in Him, you understand He's in you and you're in Him. It doesn't rock our boat. Our boat was being rocked, to use that expression. Now, so I want to mention a few things. How am I doing with time here? I get to share and lose track sometimes, but I didn't lose track yet. Train yourself to hear the voice of the Spirit of God because it can make a difference. Life. See, we're so used to everything being so stable around us. Things are stable around us. So you can just kind of go your way and not think about it. But, and I find out Nigeria and India, to get in your car is dangerous. And the vehicles would never go into drive her first year until they prayed a prayer of faith, keeping angels on the bumpers, Lord. As long as I don't go too fast and leave them behind me. Selah, little thought provoker there. But we need to trust him. And I mentioned this last week. I'm going to say it again. I always think of Brother Randy McMillan saying, because the violence got so bad down there in his city, in Cali, all over Columbia. This is mid-90s. You know, killing pastors, politicians, business people. Just violence. Murder capitals of the world. Three big cities of Columbia. And he said, I feel safer in the will of God in a safe place. And even though assassins were sent to kill him, one of the things he learned and says, I have to hear from God to open the front door of my house. There's not any of us that are in that place just yet, are we? That you have to hear from God to go out your front door. That's how bad it was. And they began having citywide prayer meetings. The soccer stadium, we were down there. I think it was the third one they did. 50,000 people. Now they worship soccer like Americans do football. They'll say that's the real football. And we'll say, no, 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 no. I say, no, 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 no. American football. That's football. It's just a kind of a funny game you play and you travel, argue about which sport's the greatest. But anyway, stop arguing. But no one's allowed in the field. But the whole stadium, 50,000 people, went to where they, as believers, praying on an all-night prayer meeting. And they would lock the gates when they counted 50,000, 55,000, whatever it was, went in there. They locked the gates. No more could come in. It's people outside. And different churches came together, and they're praying. And different pastors would take turns praying, and their worship teams doing praise. And this went on all night to sun up. Hey, it's pretty good. We'll do this again. So they were doing it again and again. And there was a video made called Transformations about Brother Randy Mack and what they were doing, what was going on down there back in the 90s. And the one time, I don't know if it was the time we were there or not, but there were seven major drug cartels in Cali leaders, and six of the seven were either killed or captured right after that meeting. There was no murders for a week. And these had the highest per capita murder rates in the world. Cali, Bogota, Medellin. No murders. But see, a church came together and they did something. Let's pray. And praise. Praise, bringing the presence of God. Ministering to the Lord. You're so good. You're almighty. You're everything. Declaring it. And then entering into intercession, just like waves, in and out, in and out. From, I don't know when that started, maybe 7 o'clock till 7 the next morning. Nobody left. Or, well, maybe they did. I didn't notice. Seemed pretty full of me. And the thing that I want to press upon here is one point relative to all this, is that it is necessary for believers to pray. Now that can sound so simple. I don't mean to sound insulting to you, but you know, people know that but don't do it. When there's danger really around, you become keenly aware. I remember Brother John, when I first trip to India, riding in a van, almost getting in a head-on accident over 4 hours every 5 minutes. Would that be pretty accurate, John? And everybody prayed like he never prayed before. You want to increase your prayer life, go on a trip like that and just ride down the road. Because it's dangerous. You live in a war zone like Brother Dale going over to Ukraine. They never know where any bombs are dropping. Just a week or so ago, I saw it drop some bombs in Odessa. That's where I went all the time. Odessa. And you have to be in faith to move, to do it, to exist. A lot of people run, and if that's what God's telling them to do, fine. There's people that stayed. New churches are being birthed right near the front where the Russians are, with a purpose to kill them. Churches are being born. Because there's people there, maybe we're a little lukewarm, realize, God, we need God just to keep us alive. And many times in places like that, there's an appreciation for salvation that we can kind of take for granted a little bit. And it brings forth the joy of your salvation. That whether I live or I die, I'm in Him. Well, I'm in heaven, or I'm here for a while yet longer. And Paul addressed that in Philippians, and he said, it's more needful that I stay. I'd sort of like to go be there, but it's needful in love. Love says stay. Love says stay. Love says stay. We believe God. The parable there in Luke, I think it's 13, about there's a tree they thought was not producing fruit, and they were going to root it up. And he asked, can we dig it around it and give it another chance? That's what intercession does. There's many people need to be saved yet. We saw in a video just the other night, some rapper, and I don't follow that music, I don't know any of their names, but I guess this guy was really well known. His last concert and says, I want to make an announcement to y'all. I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. And I'll be doing no more of this. I only sing for Him. That's the effect of it. Well, praise God! I didn't know this guy. And all these people cheering and stuff like that. Because there probably was some backslidden believers there. And they hear him testify. He got all the money and fame and whatever else, you know, the guy has accrued. But it says in Matthew, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Amen. Amen. 67, I would think for a minute. My youth being renewed like the eagle, so I'm a young man still. But when I grew up, it would be like Arthur Burton preached on 100. Anyway. Life goes so fast. And everybody that's been on the planet a little bit longer than you had before for a while, you say, man, where's it all go? That's what I was saying to my wife yesterday. Wow, 46 years. It was like you just blink, you know, and it's gone. Before you know it, we'll all be in heaven. What'd you do for him while you're here? Now, there's obeying him and bringing glory. But then there's being that light to the world. And that's what God wants from us. You be a light where you are. Yes. Praise God for somebody that goes to Tanzania or wherever, you know. Praise God for that. Yep. By supporting them, we're all part of it. But you live here. Be a light here where you are. There's plenty of unsafe people all around us. And one of the things in this last hour, the Bible does tell us, there'll be a great falling away of people who once knew the Lord, who may not anymore. In fact, in Timothy, he says there's the seducing spirits and doctrine of devils in the end times, and we're seeing it all around us. People being pursuing the Lord less. I mean, you hear like church attendance in most places, half what it was just from 4 years ago with that pandemic. Because people were put to the test. That was a trial. And Antichrist spirit saw most Christians will bow their knee to a man if afraid he might lose something. To me, I felt ashamed of that for our country. Because in many parts of the world, they're still dealing with present-day persecution, even unto death, that goes on. A lot more places than what you'd think. And I could come here, maybe not. Well, it does or doesn't. So what? Like Esther said, if I perish, I perish. So what? We win or we win. We got it better than bankers. See, bankers, the way they work, they win or they win. Either you pay them, or they'll take everything you have. They win or they win. But we are the ultimate win-win. Because we win walking with Jesus while we're here, and when we're leaving this earth, and we're with Him in eternity in heaven forever and ever, that's the ultimate win. We win. Well, storm clouds are gathering, and the point I wanted to stress today is the importance of prayer. And the reason why people don't pray, there's not a lot in it for you to feel. It's an act of love. If you want to talk about love, we can look one place real quick. How's prayer life? I don't mean just praying for you. Oh, God, I need a new, you know, whatever. No, but just praying for other people. And it says there in Timothy, and I'll just refer to it because I don't have time to read through all of it. But in chapter 1, what Paul's doing with Timothy is giving him a charge or releasing him into the will of God. And he says, it's according to the prophecies that went on to you, or God has been speaking this to you, Timothy. You would be doing this, what you're going to be doing right now. Now's the time, buddy. You're going to be released. And he says, hold fast to your faith and a good conscience. The Holy Spirit deals on your conscience. If you start not doing what He wants you to do, or doing what He doesn't want, you're either going to humble yourself or harden your heart. One of those two things happens every time. If someone goes on and on and on hardening their heart, you can get so far out there that knowing God is some distant, faint memory. So how do I get back? Well, I got some good news for you. Coming back's real easy in the sense that you can repent and set your eyes on Jesus in faith, and the Lord will begin to meet. He'll meet you where you are every time. Whether you're drunk in a ditch or whether you're a religious person in the church, He'll meet you where you are if you call out to Him. If we turn towards Him, that's all repentance means. Turn away from whatever this world to Him. It's real simple. We give our life. We give our life. We can only do it to the degree we really are seeing Him. But to according to what you see, we give our life. Timothy, he's saying to him, it's according to those prophecies, war, good warfare, hold fast to faith and a good conscience. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, first of all, pray. There's a wrong presentation of those scriptures been done for years by a lot of well-known Bible teachers. But because the word therefore is there, it's because of what I just said, I'm going to say something. That's what that means. If you're going to fulfill my plan for your life, the first order of business, Timothy, the first thing you need to do is to pray for all men or whoever you're encountering to be releasing faith for the Holy Spirit's ministry. He didn't say, first of all, pray for presidents and senators and congressmen. That's not what it says. First of all, pray for all men or whoever you're going to be ministering to. You pray for them, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction, power to their soul, to convict them of sin and convict them of who Jesus is. Because apart from being convicted that I believe this, that's what that means. This is what I believe. This is what I know. We don't have anything. So we're praying the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's how you pray for the world. John 16, verse 7. Conviction, power. See, that's what's missing. And one of the great detriments to the body of Christ that started about 20, 25 years ago was called the seeker-friendly movement. And a lot of works have, and they'll say it in private, but they only say it over the pulpit. They want to eliminate conviction to make it easy for a bunch of people to sit there and be comfortable and be a part of their social club, which is about all it amounts to. people are falling away like you wouldn't believe. Oh yeah, you can see there's a bunch of people fill chairs now and then. But where are they with God? And we're in a day and an hour. Hey, social club Christianity is not going to cut it. Religious activity is not going to cut it. Fun and games isn't going to cut it. It's the power of God in our life. First of all, pray. We need to pray, have a daily prayer life. It's going to involve things like forgiveness, like what Jesus taught his disciples. You got to be. There's so much evil going on around. We got to forgive all the time. Lest bitterness, a seed of bitterness come into our heart and contaminate us. And we begin to get hard and want judgment upon the world rather than salvation. First of all, pray. The disciples, when they began to preach and persecution came, what did they do? Acts chapter 4. They came back together with the other believers and prayed until the very ground shook. And they were praying, Lord, fill us with boldness to speak your word. And it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with boldness. You have the example in Acts 13 with Peter. He's in prison. He's going to be killed. And it says that the church, the believers of the church prayed without ceasing or with a continuum. Not all of them believed necessary, because a girl, I think her name was Rhoda, answered the door. And Peter's standing there. Oh, no, you're not Peter. I'm seeing a ghost. She's freaking out. But somebody in the back room there, probably the apostles, were praying in faith. It's not how many people praying for you. It's who's in faith with you. Who's going to stand with you to lay hold of the life of God. I mentioned last week, I'm just going to say this again, finish off with this, that I don't know how long it's even been. I've been sitting down in the hospital this year. It's hard to keep track. I thought I was dead. But the prayer of the saints. He said to do this one thing here, doing with me. I had so much pain. He did a pain block. About drove me out of my mind. Donna got on the phone. Called a bunch of people. And she did what I did from Hungary in 1993. You probably remember that. She said, I command you to pray. Didn't you tell me you said that? I command you to pray now. And the natural man hates feeling helpless. I hate it. You hate it. We all hate it. You hate being out of control. But I experienced the measure of helplessness beyond what I ever did before. And she called a bunch of people, pray, pray now. Not tomorrow, now. And I don't know, it was like an hour later, I just snapped out of it. And the doctors and nurses were like marveling. Just bump. Now you probably tell that story better than me, because you're the one watching. Praise God for the prayer of the saints. I don't care. You don't need to be on every prayer chain in the United States. You need to be hooked up with people who will pray out of a heart of love, pray in faith with the expectation of what God's word says is going to come to pass. And for me, I knew the will of God was not done for my life. See, if I would have thought that, it would have been easy to say, beam me up, Scotty. Hey, hey, glory, glory, glory. But love says, stay in the midst of the storm. Stay and be a light to the world. Stay and strengthen my brothers and sisters. Stay until the will of God is done. Amen. I almost want to apologize for feeling like I'm yelling and screaming, but I want you to understand, this is so big in me. This is not some message I put together and prepared out of my head. And now I'm seeing things the Holy Spirit's been leading me to share over the recent weeks. Coming together, it's a now word for now. I mean, that's up to you take heed of what I'm saying or blow it off. That's all up to you. But I did my part in delivering it to you. So I have peace. I can rest. I know I did my part. You know, you can never make anybody do anything. Otherwise, you end up going in Satan's pathway of having a controlling spirit. I'm not trying to make anybody do anything. But I preach word with conviction, the conviction that I have, conviction power. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit stir every one of us. Regardless of where we're at, stir all of us. That we can be God's man and woman in this hour. And it'll be a great testimony it will take with us to heaven. It's not in comparing to other works or other people or anything else, but that we know we obeyed God. We know we stood strong in a tough time. It just comes to my mind, that song of Janie, stronger than before. Janie Grant, stronger than before. Stronger than before. It needs to be all right. I'm going to be stronger than before. I don't care if everything's going to hell all around me. I'm going to be stronger than before. God is who He said He is. He will provide. He will protect. He will heal. He is still a miracle-working God, and He lives in you. Father, I thank You for Your word. Father, may there be great stirrings in our spirit today. Great stirrings, Lord God, to pursue You beyond what we've done before, to lay hold of life. And Father, I thank You. You are changing us. Hallelujah. And we purpose to be Your men and women for the hour and the days ahead. We rejoice in the days we live in, Lord God. For where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You shall be glorified in us and through us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Any announcements, Paul?